Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Who's this? Who sings this song?
Hold on. I've got a million bands. I know this. Hold on.
I figured this was up your alley.
I know the song. Right. I don't love it. I even know every word. Who is it, Boyle? The Clash. Oh, that's right. I should know that. You know what? I was never a big Clash guy. That was like the whole CBGB thing, right? Late 70s, or kind of ushered in the punk as disco was ending. I am not a massive Clash fan. I don't dislike them. I don't think I've ever downloaded a Clash song, nor have I ever had a Clash CD.
I've heard of them, but I get their
place in musical history.
Heard of them, heard the song, not really a fan. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. I was getting texts throughout the course of the show so far.
Yes.
Somebody asked me if you and I are going to box during one of the commercial breaks.
You know what you should say? Yeah. It's coming. Yes. Let them know. And my money's on me.
I can fight with my words. I'm not going to use these.
He's the only guy in the world. The Knicks win. There's 10,000 Knicks fans in the building. Brunson scores almost 50, breaks the Knicks record. And for the first 7 minutes of the show, I got to fight him.
Yeah, because you're talking championship. I got to reel you back in. I will say, and again, even you and I, we did text about this throughout the course of the, I don't know if it was Friday.
Was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Definitely yesterday. Yeah.
But like, there's a part of my enjoyment for this series that gets ruined based off of predictions. Like, and that's why I wanted to just eliminate that. Like, I'm glad that the Knicks are coming back up 3-1 as opposed to 2-2 like I predicted. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously glad Brunson went nuts. And I didn't say he wasn't going to, but it wasn't looking good through the first three games. But, yeah, the back and forth about that, it does ruin some of the enjoyment in just sitting back and watching the Knicks get a win. Also, like, I still in my mind, while I wouldn't say that the Sixers are going to come back and win this series, I still don't think it's over yet.
It's not, because the Knicks don't have win number 4, and the Sixers have one of the best players in the world. Granted, he's a little infantile child, the way he complains that he's dirty as hell, Embiid, but he is amazing. Maxie's highly capable. Every time Kyle Lowry shoots, I feel like it's going in.
He's a beast, man. Even doing the smart things yesterday, taking fouls.
You see that on the pick? That was a very good
play. I never even knew that. Like, that's incredible.
His IQ. I love Kyle Lowry. He's a pit bull as well. Mm. I don't love him now, but I've always loved him going back to his days at Villanova. 18 years he's been in the NBA. So the Knicks need to dispose of them tomorrow to take away any risk of them possibly getting life, because as Sal just said, I mean, they are capable of getting life and ripping off a couple of wins.
Well, that's the key, right? So, because I'm trying to think, like, the difference with the Rangers, I never felt like the Rangers weren't going to lose this series. Felt like it was going to be a sweep, five games at worst. Even when they get down in these games, it feels totally different than it has in postseasons past. So, it's not over yet. No, the series is over because they're that much better. That's part of the issue I have with the Knicks and with the Sixers being dangerous, that we saw Embiid one night go for 50, the next night look like he can't do anything.
Yeah.
We've seen him be unhinged in the first quarter of the game and then the rest of the game take over. So because the Sixers have that star power, I was even getting texts before from a Sixers fan, not over yet. And he's been more negative on the series as far as the Sixers' perspective. But, yeah, I'm worried that in a Game 5, you know, it sounds great up 3-1. Until you get that fourth win and put them away, especially a team that could be as dangerous as the Sixers with the talent that they have, ain't over yet.
I got one question for you before we get back to these calls here. All right, so I know many of you saw the videos on X, and John Starks was on the train And
was he?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
He took the train?
Yeah. He was addressing everybody. He was like, yeah, I mean, John is, I mean, all these old Knicks. I mean, Spree's been there. Pat's been there. Obviously, John's always there. Anyway, so the videos were incredible. And then after the game, you know, bleep Embiid in their house. And it was loud. I mean, Knicks fans took over. And then I saw this where Knicks fans, and I like it, but I don't know if I love it. So I want to throw this by you with a different slant. And I'm going to incorporate the Mets briefly for a moment. So, the Wilt Chamberlain statue outside of Wells Fargo, whatever the hell they call that dump.
I've never been. You been there?
Yeah. Okay. But it's many different names. So I've been there under different names.
Spectrum?
But I was never at the Spectrum. I was there, maybe like when it was Wachovia.
Oh, yeah.
It's had a couple of different names.
I don't think I've ever been either for Sixers or.
It's okay. It's pretty big. It's like one of the larger NBA venues. I think it's got like 20,000 seats. Anyway. Some Knicks fans put a Knicks jersey on the Wilt Chamberlain statue.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I mean, to me, okay. That. So let me ask you this.
Oh man,
let me ask you this.
Yeah,
the Mets and the Phillies playing a wild card series, whatever. Somebody puts a Bryce Harper jersey on Tom Seaver.
Oh no!
I mean,
come on, I'd be one of the first.
That's what happened.
One thing that has always been in me from a young kid, and even to this day, I teach either like my nephew or my daughter, whoever, younger people. You always protect home court. Like, I actually got kicked out of the Garden once.
For what?
Yelling at a Heat fan.
How old were you?
Like 5 years ago, dude.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I had partial season tickets to the Knicks.
Yeah.
And it was Knicks, Cavs.
Okay.
LeBron was in town. And now I had a few, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
But somebody was standing up, some guy in a Heat LeBron, they're playing the Cavs, but it was LeBron.
God.
Some guy stands up in a Heat LeBron James jersey, and I didn't like say anything bad, but I just got on him.
To
boo!
Sit down?
Yeah, sit down, okay. Boo, whatever,
good.
Boo. Yeah, I'm protected home court. They kicked me out.
No, they didn't.
I swear to you. They did.
You had to say more than just sit down, buddy.
I mean, I was getting on them, but
any F-bombs? You said you had a couple.
No, but it was relentless. Like, I don't know if you know this, but was relentless.
Yes. It was the first half of the game. It wasn't even that bad. Good.
So anyway, my point
is. What about the statue stuff? Is that off base?
Well, right. I would not. You always have to protect home court, home field, all that. So, yeah, wouldn't you? If you walked by a statue, whatever it may be, or outside the Garden, if they were disgracing the Knicks, legendary statue, you wouldn't want to take that off and do something about it?
At this age, with a couple of young kids and a wife and, the craziness in society, now I'd probably keep moving.
Well,
in the day.
If there's a sea of people.
I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. Like now I'm just not looking for that now. I can promise you that.
Back in the day, you and I walk in there together. We see.
You forced me to that point.
Oh,
then I'll find it quickly.
You don't want this moment.
Yeah, okay. This guy's idiot.
So what was it, though? A crowd of people? Like, it wasn't just there. It was a crowd of people doing it?
Sal, there were 9 or 10,000.
Yeah, then I'd keep it moving. I mean,
I know.
Protect home court. What are you supposed to do exactly?
Those six, they can spray paint it. All right, it looks good. I keep going. Those Sixer fans walked out with their tail between their legs like little five-pound chihuahuas.
Yeah. Was Spike seen in the crowd?
Be more docile.
Was Spike seen in the crowd?
Hey, Spike texted me this morning about something.
Oh, he did?
About the Jam. Something about Becton.
Hey, Clem.
The Eagles signed him.
CEO of Surfside. Yeah. Clem, get that.
Wait, not yet, dude.
Ready.
Stop. Stop.
Come on. Were you saying championship? I can't say get the pallet
yeah,
ready.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Get that pallet ready.
But you mush things. I don't.
Get out of here. You don't. I mean, he's selective remembrance here from BT. All right. BT and Sal.
I mush nothing.
Pete and Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's happening, buddy?
You know, I was never worried about this series, even after Game 3. It took an all-time Embiid third-quarter heater. And, Sal, you said the Knicks got blown off, got blown out in Game 3. Look at the box score, man. They won every quarter except for the third quarter, and it took an all-time Joel Embiid game for them to win that game. So I've never been concerned. And
right, but then couldn't you say, and I understand that, but then couldn't you say, well, it took an all-time Knick performance from Jalen Brunson to win Game 4?
Yeah, but they won the first two games.
But game two they should have lost. So you're right, they did win. But in reality, you play that game 99 out of 100. You play it 999 out of 1,000. The Knicks are going to lose that game.
Well, in any other situation, Embiid should have been tossed out 5 minutes into the game. So
right, but that's a different
game, and the Knicks win.
Understood, but it's a different conversation.
Why is it a different conversation?
Well, because
you
got to see.
The Sixers are lucky that Embiid wasn't tossed.
You're not wrong about Embiid having to go nuts for them to win the game, but you got to be fair then.
I am being fair. You said the Knicks were lucky to win game two. Fine. The ref gave him a gift. The ref gave the gift right back to Embiid in game three. He should have been ejected. Everyone knows it.
Right. He should have been. He should have been.
Everyone
ejected.
Knows it. There's no 50-point game if that game is legislated the way it's supposed to be. Everyone knows it. So this, as far as I'm concerned, it's a wash. Game two and game three are a wash. And the Knicks are up 3-1. As far as Randle goes, I know that the national media and I guess New York folks too have this opinion that Randle's like addition by subtraction. Maybe. Bill Simmons said on his podcast last night as well. But for this series, having Randle out
still
there.
Still doing one?
Bill Simmons said on his podcast last night that the Knicks are better without Randle.
Oh.
But for this series, he changes the way that the Sixers' entire defensive strategy is. The Sixers have been able to throw all this length, Batum, Oubre, at Brunson. Tobias Harris, who's I'm embarrassed to be from the same island as Tobias Harris. That guy
has been horrendous.
You know, we talk about, and thank you for the call, Pete. We talk about the secondary scoring for the Knicks, and I get like Embiid and Maxey are all world talent, but dude, their bench stinks.
It stinks.
Like Oubre can't shoot. I mean, Campaign does a couple of things. Batum was the point about the playing game where I remember, you know, Spike was like, "Oh, did you see the playing game?" Yeah, I did. Matter of fact, I came away feeling worse about the Sixers after actually watching them because there was no way Nick Batum was going to do what he did, and he hasn't.
I remember when you said that. Yeah, Oubre stuck a couple threes. Oubre's he's decent for sure. He's been
good
around.
Defender with his size.
Yeah, I mean, he brings a little bit of a little something of everything to the table. I'm not trying to disrespect his game. I think he's slightly above average in certain spots as a basketball player, but they don't have a lot of depth. But then again, neither do the Knicks without Mitchell Robinson, without Bogey. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this. We talked about this in the first hour, and we can't help it. We always go back to the 90s, back to the difference for me, and it hit me yesterday, right? And I'm sure I've known this before, but it really, really jumped out yesterday. Like, back in the day, whether it was the Pacers, the Heat, those Knicks would go on these extended scoring droughts. Now, it was also a very different NBA, where although these NBA playoffs, you know, are very physical, and not just the Knicks. Like, you look around these series, there have been, look at Bobby Portis yesterday, I mean, every series has been fairly physical, right? But in large part, that does not represent the way the NBA is going the last 10, 12, 13 years, more about offense. But those Knicks teams back in the day, you know, you watch them, and they couldn't score. Patrick didn't hit a jump shot. It's like, it's going to be a little bit of a dry spot. These Knicks, not only do they get the same defensive stops that those Knicks got, not only do these Knicks probably get more rebounds outside of Pat and Mason Oak than those Knicks used to get, but now they come back and they score. So, like, they get stops, they get rebounds, and they put the ball in the hole. So they're largely immune to those scoring droughts that plague those other Knicks teams.
And maybe the recipe
with the same defense, pardon me. Maybe you know what I mean? Like, with the same defensive energy and toughness.
The defense you love, and that's not
moving.
You want to get Mitch back healthy here, but the defense, okay, we agree that that's set. The rebounding, and look, maybe this is the formula here, and we're going to see it play out. I still think the Knicks are a piece or two short, specifically with Randle. You know, we're on record. I miss Randle a lot more than you do. I think if he were there, then maybe he'd be talking about championship with this team. Love Brunson. But maybe the formula is you have the superstar leading the way. You're the best defensive team. Excuse me. The best rebounding team. And the way that they shoot, while it may not be with great consistency, if you out-rebound everybody else, it doesn't have to be because you're getting that many more shots up in second chances.
Getting 10, 11, 12 extra possessions in theory if you don't turn the ball over. Now, Knicks were a little sloppy with the Rocky. I think they turned it over 12 times yesterday, which is right around maybe slightly above league average. Not egregiously, but it's like that earlier in the series, they were actually, I think, a little bit more protective of the ball. But that's a good point there, Sal. Even if you have, you know, a drop and you shoot 32% or 31% from the stripe for game, which is not good. League average right around 37, 38 at this point. So that would represent a pretty stark decline. But if you have all these extra possessions and you just bury two or three more threes, it's less about the percentage, more about the amount of shots you get up with more possessions.
And it means something with this team because of when they're getting their rebounds as well. I referenced yesterday down the stretch at a key spot where the Sixers could have got back into the game. They needed to stop. Knicks kept rebounding the ball. The Hartenstein rebound, you could argue, is the turning point in the series.
Oh, God.
In game two.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo missed the first one. Without that rebound, there is no second one. But he gets the second one. Boom. And it's the rebounds when you have to have them. And the Knicks have run circles around the Philadelphia 76ers in that department. Anthony's on Long Island. What's up, Ant?
Gentlemen, it's a good day to be a Knicks fan, let me tell you. Oof. So, I've been listening to both of you guys go back and forth, and I give Sal some credit here, but I'm going to tell you the difference, right? I'm 43. I've watched the Knicks my whole life. I love the Knicks. They're probably next to the Rangers and then the Mets third, but that's neither here nor there. The Knicks, since, I won't even say Patrick, I'm going to say since Walt Clyde Frazier, have not had someone who will rip your heart out and stomp on it.
I agree.
In the most peaceful way that you'll ever see anyone do it.
Yeah.
He just has...
Pardon me as I shove this knife right into your kidney, sir. Pardon me, sir.
He just has something that the Knicks, no Melo, I don't want to hear it. It's absolute... Melo, anybody that compares this guy to Melo... I literally almost got into a fist fight yesterday at the bar because some guy was like, this guy can't even tie Melo's. I'm like, please stop. Get out of the bar. I'll pay for your bill. Get out. I was bugging out because that's why I was on the fence about are they a championship team. That guy makes them a championship team. He's got the it factor. I don't think anyone in the East can guard him and stop him.
Especially now.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After he got over, and thank you for the call, Anthony, he got over the hurdle, BT, of being slowed down by this particular team more than just the first couple of games of this series. He just touched on something. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Brunson is that assassin. He's that guy with the killer instinct that they haven't had. And you're right. Like, I hate when you dismiss Ewing.
Here we go. I smell a little concession.
Well,
a slight concession.
He is the best, Nick. We agree, since Ewing by far. We've always agreed with that. Richard Jefferson, did you hear him during the broadcast yesterday?
I heard what he said, yep.
That he's the best Knick since Jefferson has been involved in the
league.
Which
I think was 2001. Pat was still playing, really, but it was older Pat at that point.
Which really is about Carmelo.
Correct.
But that's the difference. That is why you and I don't love Carmelo. It's not that he wasn't a talented player. Not that he's not a good guy. It's that he didn't have that next level that Brunson has. And Melo was more talented.
Yes.
Based on just sheer talent, Melo's more talented. Jalen Brunson is squeezing every ounce of ability, anything he could get out of his ability. He's maximizing it. He's got the heart. The killer instinct, the determination, that's what separates him.
Jalen Brunson, to me, is like if he were a pro golfer, you know, he'd step on the tee box, and instead of hitting a 370 like everybody does nowadays for the most part, yeah, it'd be about 309, 312, you know, 50, 60 yards short of everybody, just going away, grinding away, and every 9-foot par putt, bang, he pours it in the center of the jar. And you're playing against me like, oh, my God. I mean, I just striped one 375. I just stuck one 9 feet from the pin with a 6-iron from the rough. And this guy is, even on an off night, he's zigzagging his way to the green. And he just sticks a putt that you, if you don't have it, you're not sticking.
Right.
Like, he don't quit.
No, I know. And look, you know, again, I could sit here and say logically, like the logical part of my brain is saying they can't win a championship. However, That doesn't mean that it is not possible. Now, I don't think they're as good as Denver. Like, I watched a little bit of Denver and the Lakers, and I think it was game two. They're just on another level. Like, to me, they're on another level.
But by the way, Knicks beat them by 20 at the Garden when they played.
Understood.
No, I hear you. I'm respect to Denver, no doubt.
Yeah, now, wasn't that with Randall and Ananobi in place?
I don't know. I think they were missing one person that night, actually.
Yes,
I didn't
think
they were
going to
win that game.
I don't remember when it was, but I do remember them spanking them.
This is Sunday night.
And the Knicks have done that to the Celtics in the regular season as well.
Yeah.
And look, before you worry about Denver, like, we got to worry about Boston and all that.
We're going to close out Philly.
Understood, but maybe I'm wrong for putting a ceiling on them. I've been wrong already this season for putting the ceiling on them because I thought once Randall went down, they were going to sink and get a 6 seed or a 7 seed, and they rose to the 2 seed. So I could be wrong. I just logically don't think they have enough. And it's more BT. Forget about what happened in the regular season or what you would think might happen. It's more about watching them through the first 3 games against the Sixers, who I don't think are really that good. When the competition steps up, I just feel like the heart, the defense, the determination, even with the one superstar, I feel like they're still a little bit short.
I got you. We see a little differently, but I got you. But don't forget, Sal, this is the same team that you're saying right now, you know, isn't that talented? Embiid was going to win the MVP if he doesn't go down. And this is the same team that everybody was saying and debating whether or not the Knicks should bag that last game to avoid facing the team that now you and maybe some other people are saying, well, maybe they're not that good.
And on the verge of taking them out in 5.
Yeah, I mean, Patty, they all played that night. I don't want to get too wrapped into Denver. I just want to be fair. They OG, Randall, and Brunson all played against Denver that night?
Correct. No Hartenstein, and obviously Mitch was still out.
Yeah, that's right.
Big 3 played.
So they had no bigs there. Okay.
Hey, look, if Randall were still here, it'd be funny because we'd be arguing about that, too.
Yeah,
I think he should be here. You think he shouldn't. But I would feel like you feel if he were still here. Maybe then I'm overlooking his importance. But I'm just telling you based on my gut feel and more so based on the first 2 games of this series. Now, look, maybe those 2 games are an aberration and the Knicks take off from here.
Yeah.
How could you not be encouraged after what you saw yesterday?
You got to be. Let me just say this, but I know we'll get back to these calls after we get a break. BT and Sal on the fans. Listen, there's a reason why the Knicks are plus 1,300 to win the championship. I get it.
Right.
Those are the odds. I think what needs to be changed for those who have, I mean, you do what you want at the end of the day, but I think really should change out of respect and reacting to what we've seen is that, I think we all deep down know, all right, they're going to need one more piece this summer. I get it. But I think we can dispel the thought that this Knicks team can't win a championship if Jalen Brunson's your best player. Can we at least agree on that?
100%.
You got to upgrade maybe one or two spots. Understood. You can't do it now. You got to do it this summer. But if Brunson's your best player, you can win.
Right. He's so good, in fact, that we can consider talking about them already without having their second piece or the second best player healthy for the series. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. It is a hot one today, BT, and in preparation for that, this weather's so inconsistent. This weather's like the Knicks bench scoring, inconsistent all year long. But yesterday, I had Edison HVAC help me out a little bit. Our guy Mike set up an appointment for Anthony to come. I was spending 3 hours with him. You know, we get the new house, so I'm trying to figure out what the hell's what thermostats and the units and, you know.
It's my not eatery. Cheap.
It is not cheap. Thankfully, Edison HVAC came and you know, helped me out a little bit and you know, gave me a lay of the land.
They give you a little deal. Because, by the way, anytime these people come over, we don't know what, like a plumber. Well, hey, it's $5,000.
How do I
contest that? I don't know anything about pipes.
I told you, the electrician at my old house before we say goodbye, I was like, what? $300 to change a fixture? What's going on here?
I do remember that story.
But Edison HVAC is great. You know, they've been a partner with us for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So the owner, Mike, is a big fan. He sent Anthony over, and I was spending 3 hours with him. I didn't think it was going to be 3 hours. I figured, all right, come in, tell me what's working, what's not, what do I need to do, let's go. Starting to get close to Nick's tip here. I'm like, hey, I like you. You're doing a good job, but pretty soon you got to go. Either that or pull up a seat because we're about to watch the Knicks. Yeah, it's not bad. I'm hanging out with him. But it's hot now,
and you
want to get everything set with that regard. So that's what I'm doing yesterday, and you had it even worse yesterday.
Okay, dude. So almost every of the 4 games so far, one I've watched in real time. All right, so I've told you the other stories. Yesterday, my daughter had a dance competition. Let me tell you something, man. I mean, Tiki does this. A great respect for all the moms and dads who do this. I can't do it. I am not capable of sitting there and watching dance for hours, which I had to do. I don't mean watching my daughter. I love it. I mean, I love handing her roses after it. I love it. The problem with these competitions is that First of all, there's so many freaking awards with the third place platinum, with the third place gold, with the fourth place this, with the scholarship to that thing. God. I'm like, oh my God, did we win anything? I don't care about the other stuff. So I didn't walk out of there until like after three, like almost three.
And you texted me before the game.
I did. I texted you before
Kings
the game.
Was done.
No, I thought she was. She wasn't. And once you're in there, you're trapped. You can't leave the arena because, you know, it's rude to walk out when other girls are performing. And I don't want to be that guy. But I'll tell you, I successfully managed. I did not know this. I raced home and I put the game on. It was probably about 3:10. I didn't know a score. I didn't know if it was 2-0 Knicks, 2-0 Philly. And I watched it without knowing. I didn't look at my phone once except when I was texting you.
Yeah, and I knew, right, you texted me after. You said just call it off.
Yeah, then I said after the game, yeah.
Ooh, but I was thinking of you, man.
It's one thing dealing with things. I don't know how people do it. Like, and I'm at the field all the time, not just for my son, for my daughter as well. The softball fields, the soccer fields, yeah,
because
when she's cheering.
You like sports, football. Though. You like baseball, softball.
I can't sit in amphitheaters and watch, you know, routines for 3 hours. I'm not wired that way. I can't.
And because the majority of time, you're not even watching your kid.
95, they're going for 3 minutes. Oh, I was there 3 hours.
No, I refuse it. I thought I was having myself a rough day. You know, Edison HVAC comes over to hang out, and then guess what happens?
Like, what?
They got to, and they did a great job and everything. They got to turn the AC up, make sure it's working. Mm. So guess what? Mm. My wife gets cold.
That
she now she's like, oh, how long is it going to be going? Yeah, now I got to deal with her. Like, oh, it's cold, it's freezing. I'm like, honey, the guys are trying to help us out. Can you let us get, you know? I know 3 hours of being inconvenienced, but
what
I'd rather.
What time did they leave finally?
A little bit before 12. It was probably like 2.5 hours.
Okay. But they got the hint. Hurry up, guys. It's next time. Get out.
He was really good. But I'd take that every day of the week than sitting
over
at one of
what I had. Because at least you are near a TV.
Yeah, well, right. I'm not. I'd be like, yo, all right, Anthony, good job. Enough holding your hand here through the. Do what you got to do. I'm going to go on the other. You don't want to be rude and just leave them alone.
No.
But I could have. You couldn't leave. I at least had my way
now
out.
Now you just can't leave. You're trapped. I wish they would have put me in the bathroom. Put me in the bathroom with a TV. Right. I would have been totally happy. Or my phone.
Did you think of, I was going to say, did you think about watching on your phone? Your wife
I didn't.
Never.
No, she knows. At that point, she knows it's my. She's cool like that. No, I wouldn't do that because it's just disrespectful.
Yeah. You were trapped.
I was trapped.
But she was
great. It was fun watching her, but I watched her for 3 minutes. I sat there for 2 hours and 47 minutes.
I'm going to do everything I can to encourage my daughter.
Yes.
Not to partake in that stuff. Mm. I'll encourage you not to do that. Anything else? Not that. John is calling from the Bronx. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal, BT. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, John. What's going on, buddy?
Pretty good, Sal. I miss you on the overnight, Sal. But I just wanted to talk about the Rangers. Let's go Rangers, baby. What a great series. I was impressed with how they basically held Ovechkin powerless the entire series. I was at game two, and it was just a wonderful atmosphere. And I'm pretty psyched for the next round. Sal, I just wanted to get your opinion on what you think the next round. I think Carolina's going to end up, moving on past the Islanders.
Carolina's a pain.
What you thought about the next round? What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, well, thank you for the call, John, and I share your enthusiasm about the Rangers. We touched on a little bit earlier, BT. I never felt it was refreshing for me as a Rangers fan to not worry about the grind of a 7-game series in the first round. I never felt like they were going to be threatened from the matchup initially.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't the Islanders. You didn't have to worry about like that rivalry. There was nothing to. And I know the Caps are a rivalry, but they're nowhere near the Rangers level. And that played out. And last night, the Rangers put them away, and it felt great. Now, I will say, while I think that could go a long way in them getting to the Stanley Cup, look, Stanley Cup playoffs are a grind, right? You don't want to have these. You can't have a 6-7 game round every series. You can't have that.
Yep.
Or can't have a 7-game series every single round, which the Rangers have done in recent years, specifically the Lundqvist year. So it was nice to get that out of the way. Carolina, assuming that they do advance, and the Islanders did a nice job getting the win, avoiding the sweep themselves, I would assume Carolina's going to beat them. They are going to be a pain in the neck in round two.
That's going to be the matchup that might be a 7-gamer. Going to be 6, right. Going to be 7. No, the Rangers, I mean, listen, of course, Ovechkin's an all-timer, but he's a shell of what he was. He still had 30 goals, though, right?
Yeah, no around points, there. Though, in this series, I believe, right, Hoff?
I know he had no goals. He didn't have a single point in the series.
I don't think he had a point in the series, but he just wasn't. He's not the same player.
No,
and
he's
that's
not.
Fine.
He's definitely not. But what I love about what the Rangers did, and you know, we've seen them, as Sal just said, struggle with this during the Lundqvist years, is just put bad teams away. Just show up, smack them around, get to relax, while the Isles do you a favor,
right,
and they win just a game.
Extend it.
Extend it. And listen, the Isles are not going to win what would be four straight at this point to win the series, I don't think.
Right.
No disrespect to the Isles, but can they squeeze one more out? Just force Carolina to grind out a little bit more, heavier legs going into the Rangers series. I mean, these are all things that benefit the Rangers, but the Rangers had a regular season that optically looked like that of a Stanley Cup team,
yeah,
obviously the President's Cup, and the way they just came out and thrashed an inferior team in round one, more encouragement that they're ready to go on a long run.
Yeah, and one more in the weeds thing here with hockey. The reason why I believe the Rangers will advance and do believe this will be the year, I mean, it has to be, 30 years, the symmetry, all that stuff, the sweep, first round sweep, but it's more, and Carolina's good, and I respect them, and I do think it's going to be a fight. The Rangers do the little things that are necessary. First of all, their special teams are excellent, whether it is the PK, whether it is the power play. Their goalie is excellent, best in the league. When he's on, nobody better. So now you have the special teams and the goaltender, which are imperative, and then you're seeing the toughness from this team, which is something that has been lacking in recent postseasons, maybe even just specific to Panarin, where Panarin's been called soft in the playoffs. Is he a playoff postseason player? This year, he has been. He's mucking it up. He's battling along the boards, not afraid to throw an elbow. The fact that the Rangers have shown a different level of toughness under Laviolette, I think that's what's going to be the difference this year.
I like it. And listen, we all know Shesterkin's a stud, but his January was awful. Now, that's obviously proven to be the anomaly, and obviously he's had very good years before this. Everybody knows he's a stud, but does that give you... And I'm asking, and I'm not saying I want to see this at all, but like the January, which was so bad, like so, I think he had the worst goals against average in hockey in January. Is that in the back of your mind? Do you sit there and say, boy, can't he play A-plus or A-level hockey for 7-8 more weeks? Can he really do with no downfalls?
Here's why I actually look at that as a positive, because it was the first time there was real adversity.
Yeah, he got benched.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And to a point where guys like were like, you got to go with Quick here. I mean, Shesterkin's been a problem. But the fact that you could overcome that adversity, and it was a prolonged, it wasn't just like a week slump.
The whole
like,
month, he was terrible in January.
So it was a prolonged slump. He came out the other end of it, and he's been great ever since. Now, is he going to have a bad game or two?
Of course. But, I mean, even Dominik Hasek and Brodeur had bad games.
Put it this way, that is the least of my worries.
Full confidence in your goalie.
100%.
Got it.
Ira is in the Bronx. What's up, Ira?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
How are you, Ira?
Good. I'm a Sixer fan for the longest time, and they are just doing the same thing they do every year. Stupid basketball. You know, you're up by 10 points. Why are you shooting threes? You should go down on the block, get some fouls, go to the line.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because your superstar is a fake superstar. That's why. Because he's 30 years old, and he hasn't done a damn thing in the league yet in terms of significance. We know he's a terrific player in terms of stats. If he doesn't finish the season, his team gets bounced early in the postseason. Like, I know that Embiid is amazing. When you measure his best year or his best game against a Hakeem or Ewing or Robinson or anybody, he's right there. He hasn't done anything, though. Nothing as a pro when it matters.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about just him.
I understand the
team in general.
No, I got
you. They just make dumb decisions.
Well, you know, listen, that's not my problem.
Regarding the players they have and...
Hey, when go call Spike at WIP, Ira. I don't know what to tell you. Go call Spike. I don't care about the Sixers' problems.
Yeah.
Go Spike. WIP. He'll be
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at
at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A little extra salty today.
As if the loss. Nah, he's holding out hope, and I can't wait for this thing is over.
Because then we are going to dance on it. I haven't tweeted him yet.
Oh, I know you're waiting.
I'm waiting. He texted me something about the Jets because the Eagles signed Becton over the weekend. Yeah, yeah. I gave him back. I hope he's doing well, brother. Yeah. Hope it's going. Wait. It's coming. It's coming
what
hard.
What do you think is worse?
That smack he was trying to talk.
What do you think is worse if you're a Sixers fan? The fact that they actually lost and are down 3-1, or the fact that your building was over? Like, this is not, you know, Atlanta, a pathetic sports town. This is Philly.
Yeah.
Philly's a great, passionate sports town.
We cannot respect them now, even though they're nuts, and part of the nuttiness is part of what gets them respect because they are great fans. That is gone. When you allow a team to infiltrate your building.
It was overrun.
Yeah, it's not like you're down 3-0 and you know that you have no chance to win the series where like the Shaq and Kobe Lakers roll in against some poor 8 seed and it's over. This is, you got arguably one of the best players in the game who would have won the MVP if he didn't get hurt. And you allowed 9 or 10,000 Knicks fans not only to infiltrate your house, but then to be so vocal, it sounded like a Knicks game. That is a permanent stain on the Sixers fans, on Philadelphia, not Sixers, on Philadelphia sports resumes. I will never view them the same. We went in and we took it over, and they didn't do anything about it because they couldn't.
One thing left to do, and that's just close them out and then move on, and that's it. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan.
Sal, real quick. I saw something, and it's funny, and it's ironic, and I had not spoken to Stephen A., obviously, about this at all. I said about an hour or so, I just dropped the name Devin Booker. I don't want to get too into it because, obviously, this is about the Knicks now and Philly. Try to get one more, whether it's the Bucks or the Pacers, whatever. But last commercial, I just saw Stephen A., I guess he said on First Take, that he was told that Devin Booker wants to play for the Knicks. Okay. Well, see, you know, we'll see that happens. But the crazy thing is, like, it's not implausible. Like, first of all, the Suns have the number one payroll next season. They just got swept in the first round. They're going nowhere. They've got to change things up big time. So Kevin Durant, next 2 years, is making 51 and 54. That's close to untradeable. Like, close. But
at this point, if you take Kevin, like if you're a team.
No, I don't want Durant for the Knicks. I don't want him.
Right, but I'm saying in general, like we know it's over for Durant at this point. So you can't be the sucker team. Like the Nets were the suckers. Then the Suns became the suckers. There can't be another sucker team.
Yeah, listen, now if you have a couple of bad contracts yourself, there's ways to kind of make it work and maybe wash your hands of one guy and bring Durant in. It's not the worst thing, but I'm not really against you because he's not a number one anymore. Not at that level. But the problem here is Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's making 50, 53, and 57 going out through the 2027 season. I'm going to just leave it at this. There is a chance, if the Knicks have the appetite for it, that Devin Booker's here.
Yeah, and that'll be something that we have to visit, no question, in the offseason where the Knicks are going to look to put their finishing pieces on what could be a championship team. I do not think that they are a championship team just yet. Frankie's calling from Bay Ridge. What's up, Frankie?
BT and Salvatore.
Frankie?
What's up, guys?
Hey,
good, good. 2 points. One for BT. First of all, BT, when you have dogs in your team, you're always a championship contender. So we're all dogs, so don't worry about that.
They really are. They are. They're not just barking. They'll bite you, too.
You notice now that term is being used for everybody. Every player that was drafted this year.
But not
no. Every player that was drafted is a dog now. I'm not blaming you, Frankie.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Listen, Frankie. Frankie, hold on a second. I'm not talking about Brunson. I'm talking about in general now what Starlout is describing.
I'll let you get to it.
Hold on, Frankie.
But it used to be unicorn, like, oh, this guy's a unicorn. Then everybody became a unicorn. Then it was, oh, this guy's a dog. Now it's everywhere you look, everybody's dogs. Go ahead, Frankie.
Yeah, but if you're a true sports fan, you know who's the dog. And who's
yeah,
not.
No, that's true. That's true.
Salvador, don't put your fingers in front of Bunsen's face because he'll bite you. Okay, number two, Salvatore, listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, are you watching the same game as I'm watching? Or, like, did you watch the Nick game? Or, like, are you, like, going back and forth, like, with Netflix? Like,
no,
are you watching OGN? Are you watching OGN and OB?
Yes.
Are you telling me, if you're wondering if we should pay him, do you watch what he does on that floor?
Well, like, I think it depends on how you build a team. Like I said, I told you my issues with him, the flaws in his game. I like him as a complement to Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. Do I like him?
You always build a team with a man like that. You always have that man in the middle. Like, look, he complements your defense. He makes your defense who they are, okay? You watch his game. You watch his footwork on defense. He is so smart. He doesn't even have to deflect the ball. Just his reach alone is going to make that offensive player, okay, think twice about passing here or passing there. Okay, his IQ for the game, he deserves the contract, and the Knicks are not where they are without OG. And you know what? If you had to choose between Julius Randle or OG, you go OG.
I agree.
That's where we disagree, too. And thank you for the call, Frankie. Go ahead, BT.
Yeah, I'm with him on that. It's just a better fit. It's not anti-Randle. It's more pro union and relationship on the court synergy between OG and Brunson. Like, I just think that Randle gets in the way of what they're trying to do.
Right, but to me, it's a star-driven league, and Ananobi, while he is a useful player, is a guy that was a perfect fit on this team with Brunson and Randle leading the way. And to me, that's the question. Do you want to run it back with those three? Now, I do think they're going to bring Ananobi back anyway, but I also think they're bringing Randle back. Is Ananobi as good a fit with Devin Booker, the guy you just brought up? We don't know. I saw it work with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. I saw it work with Ananobi. Without Randle, I like Ananobi defensively, yes, but offensively, I need more than just a spot-up shooter. And he was 0-for yesterday from downtown, and I know he did some other things, the mid-range game, whatever, but he's not a scorer. That's my issue with him. Now, not everybody has to be, but your third best player on a team, and now he's their second best player without Randle here,
yeah,
should be a scorer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the one thing you're not going to do with OG, you're not going to just dump him the ball 25 feet away from the rim and say, go get something. That's not his game. His handle's a little loose. He's very dominant with the right hand. He's, you know, he's not like slippery or really elusive. Like, you don't see him like attack the rim and contort his body and hang and slither through. That's not him. But, and I'm okay with that, though, because that's what Brunson's for. Now,
and hopefully somebody else, whether it's Randle or they need that next guy.
No question. I know that now the circumstances of this season, I'll say what I said to start the show. Like, I think the Knicks can win the championship this year. I do. Based on how they look in this series, based on who might be who probably will be waiting for them in the next round, based on if it's the Pacers, how they played against the Celtics this year. Not that they would be favored to beat the Celtics, but I'd give them certainly a chance. And then if it's Denver, whomever, you worry about that if you get there. Knicks are far from perfect, but I think you can be imperfect this year and still make a run that is a little bit beyond the realm of reality for most.
Right, and I would just say that when they face the better teams, it's gonna be even more noticeable.
Philly was supposed to be one of them.
I know. Well, but I don't think Philly is that good. And that was basically the point after watching the play-in game or even the first couple of games.
Who is good? Honestly, besides Denver.
Boston. I think Indiana might be Denver's. Denver and the Celtics
amazing.
Are great.
Yeah. And by the way, Pacers,
I think
it's
Miami.
Them,
like, you're right.
It's, oh, it's Miami.
Not, I think Miami will beat the Knicks.
No. Oh, We're not gonna see that.
Well, you gotta ask me. You're asking
me
who I think is.
I got you. Who do you think is championship level right now? Well, Denver, Boston, keep going.
Championship level is a different story.
Okay.
You
can only put two teams or three teams.
Minnesota. I mean, I'd probably put more teams in the West than I would the East.
So would I. But that's why the odds in the East are probably more favorable because there's fewer good teams to get through,
but I think
which helps the Knicks.
I think the Knicks could have some trouble with whoever the second round matchup is.
I do too, but I think they'd win, but I hear
you. I think Miami, if the Knicks face Miami, the Knicks would smack Miami
without Jimmy Butler. I have no doubt about that. They would absolutely punk them, probably sweep them.
And I think Boston, unfortunately, will...
That's a tough matchup.
Handle
it's a tough matchup.
I just think you're going to see the... Like, I think there's a disparity now, and I think you'll see it even more so when you get to the next round or two. John is calling from Port Jeff Station. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing today?
How are you?
Hey, John.
Good. You guys are missing a great sunny day out here, sorry to say.
We got to work, John.
Yeah.
I know. Somebody has to do it. Listen, I'm kind of concerned with the Knicks, not with Embiid, but the rest of the team, as far as the Knicks team goes, as far as them having... to not have that rest if they do win the series. How do you see them? I mean, I'm glad Embiid, you know, with his talking yesterday, you know, about the fans and, you know, blaming this and that. You know, that fragrant foul, I'm assuming you guys, I haven't heard you say it, that was definitely, you know, a foul that he should have been either fined or something.
With Robin, like 100%. I mean, 100%. Refs, horrendous dereliction of duty. Absolutely egregious miss. No. Yes.
Yeah. And that was something. And then I looked at him, and they said, "Oh, he's, you know, he's got this knee problem. He's got Bell's palsy." And I looked at it, and I'm saying, like, the fans on Philadelphia gave up already. You know, I'm saying, like, so they said, you know, something, we're not going to the game. He's not going to do anything for us. I think that's had something to play with them, with the fans changing over to the Knicks being able to get those tickets somewhat. But I think I'm hoping the Knicks can close them out this way, as the Rangers are going to have the rest. They can get some rest, hopefully, in the next series. How do you feel about that?
God, that would be fantastic, John. Good call. Appreciate that. I completely agree. The quicker Knicks get get off their feet with Mitch, with Bogey, even Brunson. And Brunson went back to the locker room.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I know. Everybody holds their breath when that's the case. God. Look, get rest, get ready for the second round, because to me, that's when the playoffs really begin. Because this team, they did win a first-round series a year ago.
Yeah.
Now it's time to get past the second round. I think that's how they're going to be. Ultimately, whether we disagree, whatever we predicted in the first round, whether we agree or disagree on the future, how far they could go, ultimately, their season is going to be defined by what happens in round two.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.